We're going to jump right back into our Bible study today. I wanted to come back to the Gospel of Luke today, but as we see things taking place in our world, I wanted to go just one more step and talk about and continue talking about what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And this week, I was reminded of all the times, and I think there's like six times, where in the Old Testament, it talked about being a watchman on the wall. Now, 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago in the Middle East, you'd have a wall around your city, and you'd have these watchmen on the wall, and they would be watching to see if danger was approaching. And so you have these verses like this in Ezekiel 33. It says, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood." And then it goes on to say, but if the watchman, he sounds the alarm, but they don't listen, well, that's on them. But the job is to sound the alarm. Now, when the watchman sounds the alarm that there's danger coming, I think you would agree that that's not the positive, happy message that everybody's looking to hear. But if danger is approaching, it's the message that they need to hear. Would you agree with that? So today's going to be one of those watchman on the wall type messages. And we've been talking about Bible prophecy. Let me just say it one more time. Please write this down. But what I love about Bible prophecy so much is that Bible prophecy helps us to understand that things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place, just as the Bible says. So today we're going to look at something that we've looked at several times through the years. For some, this is going to be by way of review, and for others, this is going to be brand new. And each time we go through this, I always highlight a certain aspect. And today I'm going to highlight, in light of the world situation, a particular aspect of this. There's no way to highlight everything because there really is so much. So I want to highlight something that we see taking place around us, something that is accelerating around us. And so my focus today is, as always, is to focus in on what is clearly evident. So there's not going to be real stretches in this, but hopefully it'll be fairly clear. So our study, our story begins, it's the last week of Jesus' ministry, literally a few days before he goes to the cross, and he's there in Jerusalem, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. It says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Of course, that happened less than 40 years later in 70 AD. The Romans come in, they destroy Jerusalem, they destroy the temple, they literally take the stones of the temple apart. Amazing story for another day. The disciples are shocked that Jesus says this because that's not what they were expecting him to say. And so what they do is they wait until he's alone and they're alone with him, and they come and they ask him three questions. Now, I like to call these the three questions. And so what I've done is I've numbered them in my Bible, and I hope you do too. So in verse 3, it says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Now, let me just say, this is not going to be something that Jesus is sharing with the crowd of thousands of people. This is going to be something that he's sharing with his disciples, and it's going to be private. It's private. So he says, they came to him privately saying, tell us, there's number one, when will these things happen? He's just told them the temple's going to be destroyed. And what will be, number two, the sign of your coming? And then number three, and of the end of the age. Three questions. So when will these things happen? You just told us the temple's going to be destroyed. And then what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They had rightfully paired his coming with the end of the age. Jesus now takes chapters 24 and 25, two chapters, to answer those three questions. And if Jesus takes two chapters to answer three questions, you know it's important. Now, when we went through Matthew a few years ago, As we went through chapter 24, it took 4 weeks to get through it because there's so much. And I'm not going to do that today. We're just going to focus in on some things. So we're going to hop, skip, and jump as we go. So they've asked three questions. When will these things happen? What's the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, which they paired together? And so he's going to answer that question, but before he does, we're going to notice in verse 4 that he does not say, when they say, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He doesn't say, who cares about that? Why would you focus in on that? That doesn't really matter. It's not important. After all, it all pans out in the end. That is not how Jesus responds. They say, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus says in verse 4, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you. Some of your Bibles will say deceives you. I like deceives better. My Bible says misleads. See to it that no one misleads you. So he says, I'll answer your question, but you see to it that no one misleads you, that you are not deceived about this. The idea is, I'll tell you, but now you're gonna be responsible for this. This is something that was important to Jesus. I think one of the ways that we can be deceived about the sign of his coming and the end of the age is that we could go to church for decades and no one ever talk about it, which would lead to a deception. We would be misled on how these things happen. So Jesus says, see to it that no one deceives you. So write this down. Jesus expects us to know this. He says, see to it that no one deceives you. Now, verse 4 again, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you or deceives you. Then verse 5, he says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead or deceive many. So here you have this warning against being deceived as he talks about his coming and the end of the age. And what you find is that this being misled or deceived, I like deceived more, becomes a theme of all the times that Jesus or the Bible talks about the end times. So for instance, same chapter, and I put this there on your outline, verse 11, he says, and many false prophets, he's still talking about his coming and the end of his appearing and the end of the age. It says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. You want to underline that. Now, what I did there where it says many, that's also the same word for mostly. And the idea is that when it comes to the end of the age and his appearing, many or mostly will be deceived. And that's what the word actually means. Now, not just here, but throughout the New Testament, you'll find that deception, deceived, is a theme of all the passages that appear to refer to the end times. So Paul writes to Timothy there in your outline, and he says, but the Spirit explicitly says, you know, you take it to the bank, that in later times, some translations will say the last times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. So later on, the last days, we would say, people would begin to pay attention to deceitful spirits, literally the doctrines of demons, teachings that would come from the demonic. So they'd be falling away from the faith to the place where even though they're in church, what they believe is no longer even Christian. And maybe we'll be able to talk about that as we go. But a major theme of the last days, write this down, is deception. So you see that. Usually what I do is I take the time and I start walking through some of the many verses that when it talks about the end times, it uses the word deceived or deception. I'm not gonna do that today because it's not our focus. But 2 years ago, I shared that some of the verses and one of the deceptions that the Bible speaks about in the last days. And our teaching was taken off of YouTube because it went against the narrative. The Bible talks about a certain deception. The way you know that you're telling the truth is when YouTube takes it down. That's the only test I need. So here's the problem with being deceived. When you're deceived, you don't know that you're deceived. You don't know. And when he says, you know, many will be deceived, and that word is mostly. And so our prayer needs to be, Lord, open my eyes and show me I don't want to be deceived. And he'll honor that prayer. So they've asked the question, what's the sign of your coming, the end of the age? And he's going to begin with an overview. This is not the sign, just the overview. Verse 6, you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, if you haven't underlined that, you want to. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So far in the first few verses, we've been told not to be deceived, and we're also told not to be frightened. Some of your Bibles have the word alarmed, if you have the NIV, and that's a good translation on that word. What we find is that the people who are the most misled or deceived about his coming and the end of the age are typically the people who are most frightened about the things that would be taking place. Jesus says these things must take place. So we'll see that as we go. Now I put verse 7 on your outline. The reason for verse 7 on your outline, I'm going to highlight some words that'll be important. Verse 7, he says, for nation, the word there is ethnos, shall rise against nation, ethnos, and kingdom against kingdom, if there shall be famines, lemoi, and pestilences, loimoi, and earthquakes, seismos, in diverse places. Diverse places means earthquakes in places that you didn't think would actually have earthquakes. Now, verse 8, I'm going to read in our Bible and then come back. It says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains, you want to underline that. So these things are going to take place like birth pains. Now, here's how this works. There's a very long pregnancy. The long pregnancy, there's this growing discomfort. And sometimes in that growing discomfort, you think you're going into labor and it can be a false start. Like when Cheryl was pregnant with the twins, we went to the hospital like 3 or 4 times thinking this is it. And they get there and they go, nah, you're just dehydrated. And, you know, we go home. But when labor kicks in, all of a sudden when he says birth pains, when labor kicks in, the contractions begin to become closer and closer together and more intense. Is that accurate, ladies? Okay, so that would be how that happens. So he says, this is how it's going to be. So it's going to be like birth pains, closer and closer together, more and more intense. So in our world, if you were to take the civil war that we had in our country in the 1860s, that was bad. But that was nothing compared to World War I. That was really bad. But that had nothing on World War II, which was incredibly bad. So these things are going to increase, and they're going to get larger and larger. Some people think that right now we are on the verge of World War III. I don't think so. I hope not. But, you know, maybe we will see. And it talks about seismos, and that's earthquakes. And you've heard me share before that growing up, I grew up here in Florida, in Miami, I had never seen a tsunami. And if you were to ask me about tsunamis, I would have said, those are things that happened thousands of years ago on the other side of the world, but they're not part of modern world. But then in 2004, we saw that tsunami that hit Indonesia and it killed 300,000 people. Well, that's just one time. Well, but then in 2011, we saw it hit Japan. And so in my lifetime, I'd never seen those things. Well, those are birth pains, and they're going to increase and become more and more intense. It says, nation will rise against nation, and the word there is ethnos. Ethnos shall rise against ethnos. So if you were translating this into English 500 years ago, it would make sense to use the word nation, because if you were French, you lived in France, and if you were Italian, you lived in Italy. The world was not a melting pot as it is today, but the word is ethnos. And so the idea today, if we were translating this from the original language, we might say ethnic group. Ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And we certainly see that happening in our world. And just about the time that we think that we have it figured out, it erupts again. And we've seen that. And it's just going to continue on like a birth pain, more and more intense, closer and closer together. Then it talks about kingdom will rise against kingdom. And so in the last 2 years, we saw Russia go at it with Ukraine. And then the last couple of weeks, nobody's talking about Ukraine. We're all talking about Israel. But it's still happening with Russia and Ukraine. It's just we're not focused in on it, but it's still going on. And so those things are happening, and they become more and more intense. Then it says famines and pestilences. Now, famines could be just due to a disruption in the supply chain that could cause a famine. And if you remember last year, especially if you followed the kind of, not the mainstream media, but some of the alternate news, you saw all of the food processing plants that mysteriously caught on fire last year. How many of you remember that, by the way? Yeah, so we saw that. And so what you've noticed now is food prices are going up. Have you noticed that? I have 12 kids. I notice things like that. Those things, I notice those things. So those things are going to continue, and they're going to increase. They're going to increase. It says there will be famines, and there will be pestilences. Now, the word for pestilence, some of your Bibles don't actually have the word pestilence in there. And that's sad because the Greek word has been there for 2,000 years. And the reason they don't is the word limoi and loimoi sound almost the same. So it was assumed that maybe it was a mistake. But when it says pestilences, and it's been in the original language. So when I was in college, I remember that this thing called AIDS first came out, and we were told that AIDS was going to wipe out Western civilization. Well, it didn't, but it was pretty bad then, and it's still bad now, okay? And so that was AIDS. Well, in 2004, I was going to China to get my daughter Hannah, and all of a sudden there was the SARS virus that came out, and that was really bad. But in 2009, after that, it was the H1N1 swine flu that was, you know, declared a pandemic, and that was bad. However, more recently, there's the COVID virus, or whatever version it is this week, I didn't mean that to be funny, but it is. It's like every week. It's like something else. But like birth pains, it gets closer and closer together and more intense. So if you look at the COVID virus, you know, it is overwhelmingly worse than all the things that we've seen before. It literally shut down the world. Would you agree with that? So it's like a birth pain, more and more intense, closer and closer together. What that means, more to come. So I believe that we are living in that time period where those birth pains, those contractions, they don't even get to ease up on the contraction before the next one's beginning. It just seems like they're perpetual now. This is not God saying that this is my will happening for you. It is not God saying I'm inflicting this on you. It's not like that at all. What's happening here is you and I live in Florida. We have hurricane season. So if we see on the news, the National Hurricane Center says, hey, there's a Category 5, it's headed your way. It's not their will that it comes our way. They're not, you know, inflicting us with it. They're just warning us so that we can be prepared for what is coming. Does that make sense to you? So it's not, God's not saying, this is what I'm doing to you. He says, this is what it's going to look like. So in Florida, now how we handle this as a family, as you know, we have 12 kids in our family, so we're not doomsday preppers, but we've always tried to prepare in such a way that if we had to, we could stay home for 3 months. We've never had to, and you know, I hope we don't have to, but in Florida, you know, you have to be prepared. You know, living in Florida, when they say the hurricane's coming, that's not the time to go to Publix, and it's not the time to go to Home Depot. Would you say amen to that? Yeah, we've all seen it, right? So we've always wanted to be prepared. It's better, we believe, to be a year early preparing rather than a day late, because sometimes it's too late. So these things are going to happen, and they're going to increase. So there in your outline, if I summarize verses 5-8, these things are not the sign of the end, but will increase exponentially as we get closer to the end of the age. And they really were. They're birth pains. They're not the sign of his coming. They're just birth pains. They're going to increase. Jesus takes the next 30 verses, or down to verse 32, and he talks about an overview of things that we're going to see. I'm not going to go through that. It takes too much time. I want to come to the sign of his coming. And if you want to get that, we have 4 weeks on that. We did that when we went through Matthew. But before I do that, The disciples come to Jesus and they say, what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus says, okay, so here's the non-signs. You got famines, you got war, pestilence. Those are non-signs. They're going to increase like birth pains. After a long pregnancy, labor kicks in. Those things are really going to ramp up. But Jesus says, now let me answer your question. What is the sign of my coming and of the end of the age? So again, before I get into that, the last 2 weeks we were looking in the book of Ezekiel and we talked about how the sign of his coming would be that Israel would become a nation again. Israel is the only nation on the planet in the history of the world that existed as a nation in 70 AD, ceases to exist as a nation. For almost 2,000 years, they are not a nation in their homeland. And then in 1948, as the Bible says, they became a nation again. So when we were looking at that in Ezekiel, we noticed several verses, but here's one on your outline. You want to underline one more time. God is speaking and he says, you will come up against my people Israel, very specific, like a cloud to cover the land. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land. So that tells us that it's his people Israel. They're going to be in his land and it's the last days when Israel became a nation again. In some sense, that began what we'll find is the last generation. We'll talk about that. But it's not just Ezekiel. It's throughout the Bible. One place that really jumps out is in Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was written 800 years before Jesus was born. And God gives this amazing prophecy through Isaiah. I'm going to read it and underline as we go. He says this, then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time, with his hand, it means God is doing this, the remnant of his people, that's Israel, who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, areas around Israel now, Shinar, which is modern day Iraq, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. There's no ancient Hebrew word for other continents. So they would just say islands, you know, what's across the sea. That's where they'll come from. And he, that's God, will lift up a standard for the nations and will assemble specifically the banished ones of Israel, banished in the sense that they're not in their homeland. And he will gather the dispersed of Judah, and it says from the four corners of the earth, Well, so God said 800 BC, he said, I'm going to bring Israel back into its homeland the second time. Now, when God said that, Israel had not been removed from its homeland the first time. So when were they removed the first time? Well, the first time was just a couple of hundred years after Isaiah gave this prophecy, and the nation of Israel was removed to Babylon, we would say Iraq today. And you have these great stories of Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they were removed, but after that 70-year time period, they began coming back into their homeland. So that was the first time. When were they removed the second time? Well, 800 years after Isaiah writes this, Jesus has gone back to heaven at 70 AD. The Romans come in. The Roman general's name is Titus Vespasian. And he comes in and he wipes out Jerusalem. They destroy the temple, literally taking the stones of the temple apart. And it's at that point where the Jewish people go into the four corners of the earth. And Israel ceases to exist as a nation, just as the Bible said. And for almost 2,000 years, Israel, the people of Israel, live outside of their homeland, literally in the four corners of the earth. Now, for them to become a nation again, many Bible scholars in the last 2,000 years felt that it was so impossible that they could actually become a nation again because it's never happened. No nation's ever existed as a nation, stopped to exist as a nation, 2,000 years later becomes a nation again. It's never happened. They considered that it has to be allegorical, it has to be metaphorical. It's a story, but it couldn't be literal. But just as the Bible said, they became a nation again, and that was 1948. Now, very interesting in that little passage, we read something, we underlined it, and I want to just show you how accurate this really is. He says, then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people, that's Israel, who will remain. Israel becomes a nation in 1948. So something happens before 1948 that we're only talking about the remnant of Israel, that is those who remain. So what happened before 1948 that it's just a remnant now of those who remain? What was it? It was the Holocaust. So right after that, Israel becomes a nation, but there's 6 million of them missing. So it's just the remnant that becomes a nation. Do you find that interesting? So it goes on. And so again, this is the only nation that existed outside of their homeland, as God said, and then they begin to pour into Israel from the four corners of the earth. So back to our story, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, what's the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? He says, I gave you the non-signs, famine, war, and all that. Those are gonna happen. Those are gonna be like birth pains, but let's talk about the sign. So and that sign begins in verse 32. So I put that on your outline. He says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. And the reason I put Hosea 9:10, you can look it up later. It just says, my fig tree, Israel, God says. And in the Bible, anytime the fig tree is used as a symbol, it always represents Israel. The term is called expositional constancy, which means that God uses symbols in a constant way. So we're talking about a dove as a symbol in the Bible, it's always a reference to the Holy Spirit, right? But if we're talking about the dragon, that's always a reference to Satan, okay? And he doesn't mix those things. They never mix. So here, he's gonna be speaking of Israel. He says, so learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender, and it begins to come back to life, we'd say, puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near. How near? Right at the door, right at the door. So the fig tree throughout the Bible as a symbol is always Israel. You can look up Hosea 9:10. Verse 32, he says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. After a very long winter, in this case, 2,000 years, the fig tree looks very dead. If you've ever lived up north, you see the trees, they look very dead. But in the springtime, all of a sudden, they begin to come back to life. We're not talking about any tree, we're talking about the fig tree here. So when that fig tree, after a very long winter, begins to come back to life, it looked dead, but it really wasn't. He says, learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. When that fig tree begins to bloom, comes back to life, 1948, the next event is summer. And then he says, so Israel is going to look very dead for a very long winter, 2,000 years. But at a certain time, it seemed impossible, it's gonna come back to life. And when it comes back to life, you know that the next season or event is right around the corner. And so he says, so you too, when you see, you know, Israel, the fig tree, come back to life, verse 33, he says, so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near. How near? Right at the door, right at the door. Well, verse 34, Jesus continues. And verse 34, we'll go in our Bibles. He says, truly, that's his way of saying, you can take this to the bank. I say to you, this generation, underline that, will not pass away until all these things take place. He's not talking about the generation 2,000 years ago. He's talking about the generation that sees Israel come back to life. That generation will not pass away until all these things take place. My mom was 8 years old when Israel became a nation. She remembers that. That generation has not passed away. Before that generation passes away, all these things will be done, take place. So the sign of his coming, write this down, is that Israel becomes a nation. Israel becomes a nation. And I put some verses there that you can look up later if you want to track that down. Again, the only nation on the planet, history of the world, existed as a nation, ceased to exist as a nation, becomes a nation again, never happened before. Jesus knows how incredible what it is he's just said would sound to us. So verse 35, he says, listen, guys, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It's going to happen just like he said. Verse 36, he says, for the coming of the Son of Man, that's what he's talking about, the sign of your coming and the end of the age, for the coming of the Son of Man will be, I'm in the wrong verse, verse 36, but of the day and hour, verse 36, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So we're not going to know the day or the hour, so we don't set dates, but we know the generation. It's the generation that sees Israel come back to life. Well, verse 37, he goes on and he takes it one step further. So this is not supposed to catch us by surprise. Verse 37, he says, for the coming of the Son of Man, and again, that's what he's talking about, sign of your coming, end of the age, will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. What he's saying there is that most people missed the significance of what was going on around them. There's Noah building an ark, and they never connected the dots, and they didn't care. They just went about their lives, you know, just going on about their lives. So that's interesting to me, because here you have, they're marrying, they're buying, selling, and all that, and then you have these birth pains on the other side. So we have birth pains, and then, you know, just marrying, buying, selling, and all that. So you have Russia and Ukraine. That's a birth pain. There's a lot of devastation going on right there. There's a lot of life that's being lost. People are hurting. But on the other hand, buying, selling, building, planting, you know, tomorrow, most of us, we're going to get up and we're just going to go to work because that's what you have. Birth pains and sort of normal life going on at the same time. You and I live in the only generation where that birth pain could be happening on the other side of the world, and we know about it in real time, and we're still just buying, selling, building, planting, and you know, doing those things. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so there's no worldwide collapse before Jesus comes back. They're buying, they're selling, and so he says that's how it's going to be. Again, you and I live in the only generation where we could even know these things. So when we talk about birth pains, and you think about how at a certain point you have this pregnancy, this growing discomfort, and then the labor pains kick in. So when a mom goes into labor, she goes to the hospital and those contractions are really coming, and they become more and more intense as she's going, would it be possible or would it be her hope to say, you know, I am going to put a stop to these birth pains. I'm going to get up off this table and I'm going to go back to living a normal life. Would her hope be to stop the birth pains? The answer is no. That doesn't happen. The birth pains don't stop. Or would you say, no, when those birth pains, they start coming, they don't stop. The hope is not stopping the birth pains, turning it around, going back to normal. The hope at that point when those birth pains come, the hope is that she's going to give birth. Because at the end of those birth pains, there's something very amazing and joyful. Would you say that makes more sense? So that's how it's going to be. So what is our hope as these birth pains continue and they become more and more intense? and these birth pains, I would say, since Israel became a nation in 1948. Well, write this down. The hope in the birth pains is birth. It's birth. Something happens that stops the pain. There has to be something that happens. I don't just stop and we live happily ever after. So let's see how Jesus describes that. Verse 39, he ended, we read, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Most people will miss it. Verse 40, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. The men in the field refers to daytime, and it's out in the field working. Then the two women at the mill in the Middle East, they would get up early in the morning and they would grind so that they could bake the bread for the day. So you have daytime and then you have morning. Now, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus says it, Luke gives us another detail. And so it says it like this in Luke's gospel. Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. So now you have night, morning, day. It's a worldwide event. It's instant. One is taken and the other is left. This is the event that we refer to as the rapture of the church. We'll talk about that in a moment. Only those who belong to him are taken. One is taken and one is left. That's our comfort. We'll talk about that as we go. So while we're talking about these birth pains taking place, on your outline, I put verse 37. And in verse 37, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Whatever was happening in Noah's day will be happening when Jesus comes back, for the church, when that event takes place. And he never says it'll be just like it was in the days of Ezekiel, Isaiah, David. He says, no, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. Normally what I would do is I would take us all back to Genesis 6, because Genesis 6 talks about the days of Noah. Don't turn there now, read it later. And you know, I tend to highlight certain things. Genesis 6 talks about that could only take place in this generation since Israel became a nation. It talks about changing human DNA, and that was not possible before Israel became a nation. But there are several things, again, that pertain to this generation. But I wanted to focus in on one verse, and this one verse is something that is being played out before our eyes. And I'm of the opinion that every word is in the Bible by God's design. It's God-breathed. And so there are certain things that are there, and they're there by design, not by accident, not just a coincidence. And so in Genesis 6, as you go through the days of Noah, in verse 11, and you want to read this later on when you go home, it says, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, I think we're seeing violence in our world in an unusual time. The world is very different than when I grew up. We're seeing wars, we're seeing rioting, we're seeing looting. We see stores shutting down because the cops don't arrest people unless they steal more than $1,000 worth of stuff. And so people are going in masse and stealing, you know, up to $1,000 worth of stuff. You've seen this, right? It's happening. So I think all that pertains to that. The earth is filled with violence. However, there's one detail in that that many, not just me, but many are finding very interesting. And I believe that every detail is there by design. And there's something there that has taken place since Israel became a nation that's around us. So let me read that again. And the earth was filled with violence. But what's the Hebrew word for violence? The Hebrew word for violence is Hamas, Hamas. So there on your outline, Jesus says, whatever was happening in Noah's day will be happening in that last generation. So the word violence there is Hamas. It's a primitive root. It means to be violent. Hamas, the Hebrew word for violence, just happened to be in Genesis chapter 6, where Jesus says it will be just the same. Hamas is the main terrorist group right now that is battling Israel today. Hamas represents, it's the terrorist group that launched the attack 2 weeks ago. Hamas represents a specific religion, and that religion is the fastest growing religion on the planet today. Not because of conversion, they have more babies than we have, but still it's growing faster than Christianity. That religion, Hamas, is filling the earth. It's filling the earth. This week, we saw that those who supported Hamas took over the Capitol building. Did you see that this week? How many of you did not see that this week? Yeah, so the hundreds went into the Capitol building and staged a protest, and you're not even hearing about this. Had this happened on January 6th, they would be receiving 20-year sentences, but they're not going to. It's going to fill the earth. Hundreds this week in Dearborn, Michigan, left their high schools protesting Israel in support of Hamas. We are seeing protests everywhere against Israel. And when they say Palestinians, the Palestinians are controlled by Hamas. Yesterday in Michigan, a lady who was the president of her synagogue was stabbed to death out in front of her home. It's happening. Violence is filling the earth, but it's a particular kind of violence. So the type of violence that we saw 2 weeks ago take place in Israel is going to fill the earth, and we're going to see more. Now, if it was just one word in the Old Testament, we'd say, okay, maybe it's a coincidence, but does the New Testament say anything? Well, there in your outline, Paul says it like this, and notice the emphaticness of it. Paul says, but you must understand this. It's very emphatic. In the last days, there will be violent periods of time. Now, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament's written in Greek. The Greek word is kalipos. Looks like it's spelled chalipos, but it's kalipos. And it just means violent, fierce, difficult, grievous. There is no Bible verse that says that it gets better and better and better. So what we've seen, that violence, Hamas, is going to fill the earth and it's going to increase. Now, how many of you never heard that the Hebrew word for violence was Hamas? Yeah. You know what's interesting about that organization? They were formed in 1987, 40 years after Israel became a nation. They weren't even a thing until Israel became a nation, and then they became a terrorist organization. So very quickly, if you believed that violence, Hamas, was going to fill the earth, just as the Bible says, what decisions would you be making regarding your personal security, where you would be going? Would you be placing yourself in certain situations, especially this week and next week? Those are questions for you to consider. Our hope in these birth pains is not that we're going to stop it, we're going to turn it around, we're going to go back to normal. Because when birth pains begin, that doesn't happen. There has to be a birth. So what is our hope? What is our comfort? Well, there on your outline, we'll close with this. It says, then Paul says, then we who are alive and remain. Now, this refers to a final generation. Those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up. The Greek word there is harpazo, but the Latin word is rapiemur from the Latin Vulgate. We get the English word rapture from this Latin word rapiemur. So that if you've ever heard of the rapture, it comes from this verse here, from the Latin translation, which was the only Bible anybody could have for over 1,000 years. So it says, we will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. One is taken, one is left. You know, one is in bed, one's taken, one's left. We meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Would you say that's a really awesome thing to always be with the Lord? Okay, but don't miss this line. Don't miss this line. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words. That's our hope. Our hope is that he's going to come for us just like he said as we see these things. If you're comforting others with, we're going to stop these birth pains, we're going to turn it around, we're going to get back, and it's going to be better than ever. Well, I'm always going to go with the Bible where he says, no, comfort one another with these words, these words. Does that make sense to you? Did you find that interesting today? Good. Hey, guys, it's going to really happen. And it's going to happen soon, but before it happens, there's going to be some more birth pains, and they're going to be more intense, and it doesn't get better. And I would not be the watchman on the wall if I told you, it's going to be awesome. Well, it is, but not here. It's going to be there. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, before we leave, you need to know Jesus. And I'm going to pray right now, and you can invite him in, because when it says one will be taken, one will be left, you want to be the taken. You want to be the taken. So let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now. We see the things happening in our world, Hamas and all that. The whole world seems to be embracing that. And we see it's happening and it's increasing like birth pains. So we just say to you, those of us who don't know you, we say, Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my life. Thank you for forgiving me of everything I've ever done. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to belong to you, and I'm asking you to save me. And you can say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I want to begin this relationship with you, and I'm doing that right now. I belong to you. And if you've said that today, then the Bible calls that being born again. He promises to step in and to never leave. I would ask that today you let somebody know that you've made that decision. You can come down to the front and pray with the prayer partners. Let your friends know who brought you. Stop at the information desk out front, but let somebody know. We want to see you get started on the right foot with your relationship with the Lord. Lord, keep us till we meet again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next time.